Oh, I'm in my bed.
Without me.
Don't make it weird. I had a bad day at work.
Hey.
So I'm recording from my bed. I made myself cozy, comfy.
You know, if you're going to do more stuff like this, we could start an OnlyFans.
Again, don't fucking make it weird.
Well, I'm not the one who's, like, ass out on screen right now, okay? Like, I don't even get why you'd position your computer that way, because, like, we're talking, you know?
I'm being sexually harassed.
I'll run it up to our head of HR, Tom Bowman.
No, I ate some ice cream and set up to record in bed. And now I'm chilling.
1, 2, 3, 4, go!
Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Girls can do it, bees can do it.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking, let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
I went to Boston for like a little bit over a week. Because my sister had a baby, and I really wanted to be there because I love my sister so much. So I was, like, extremely COVID conscious, got tested, like, 3 times the week before, got tested after I got to Boston, before I saw her and the baby, you know, like, and then I was literally just quarantined in Megan and my brother's house. So, and it was, like, so much fun to be there, right? So I rented a minivan to go out there because I didn't want to fly because I didn't want to get COVID. So actually I rented a car, right? I was supposed to get like a Ford Edge or something like that.
Yeah.
And I show up and they're like, surprise, we upgraded you. Here's a minivan.
Hell yeah.
And then they were like, also it costs more money. So it wasn't really an upgrade.
So not really an upgrade. No. They just double booked your car.
Right. And my mom was like, you shouldn't have paid more money. And I was like, Mom, I have so much anxiety. I just did it. Okay.
No, I feel that. I think we're similar in that way, in that if someone told us, hey, we're upgrading you, but it costs $500 more, they could also point a gun in my face and I'd still thank them.
Yeah, same. I'm just like, no one be mad at me ever. So I got the minivan, drove the minivan to my parents' house, returned the minivan at the airport by my parents' house. It was great. And then my mom like drove me up to Boston because she was going to stay with my sister, and she drove me to my brother's house, whatever, all this. It's very nice. I had a great time. While I was there, I had a, you know, a couple meltdowns. I dropped a class. I switched into another class. I met a baby. I cried with my sister. I cried without my sister. I cooked lobsters. It was just like a really great time, right?
That's literally, you're describing what I think happens every time anyone goes to Boston.
So then, yeah, I mean, accurate. So I also had like I actually didn't have any Dunkin' Donuts when I was in Boston.
Now I don't believe that you went to Boston.
Because I actually fucking hate Dunkin' Donuts, but that's because I grew up in New England. So I am in Boston, and my parents were supposed to come out this way because I have a sister who lives in this area. And her and her husband were going to do something. So my parents were going to come out this way to watch their two kids. And they were my ride back because I was going to like ride out with them, whatever.
Yeah.
My sister's husband got COVID. So their trip was canceled. Thankfully, everyone's okay. Like my sister and their two kids didn't get it. So like, we're all really thankful for that. But my parents' trip got canceled. So then I didn't have like a ride out here anymore. And I was like, well, I don't really want to fly because I'm bringing certain merchandise back with me.
What merchandise, Aaron?
And also...
And when can I pick up said merchandise?
But I didn't really want to fly because I had some special cargo. And then also, I didn't want to get COVID. So...
Yeah.
And, like, one of my coworkers, I guess, like, flew back from Boston the same day that I would have flown. And her flight got, like, delayed and then canceled. And then
gross.
It was like, I was like, yeah, I'm actually glad I didn't deal with that. Anyway, so I rented another car. And this time I was like, you're not tricking me. I'm prepaying. So that way when I get there, you can't charge me more money. So I prepaid. Great. I'm a Costco member, so it's cheaper. I am under 25, so it's more expensive. So it kind of evens out, you know, what?
A Costco member gets cheaper cars?
Yeah, through their travel program.
What the fuck does Costco not do?
That's a great question. You can also get discounts on rental cars if you're a AAA member, which brings us to our first sponsor.
Costco.
Eatsamass.com.
That's not three A's.
I was making a non
triple A's. Always eight ass.
So I rented a car. I prepaid because I was like, you're not tricking me. So I show up to the rental car place. Dude is high out of his mind who's running this rental car place. And I'm like, God bless Boston. So I'm like, hello, I'm here to pick up my rental car. When I booked this rental car, they asked me, what kind of car do you want? And I said, the cheapest. Thank you. And they said, great, you're going to get a Kia Soul.
No.
Or equivalent.
Did it come with the dancing hamsters?
No, no, no. Wait, it gets better. So I show up to this rental car place, and I'm like, hello, I rented a car. And he was like, okay, great. He takes a pair of keys down. He's like, you can come out with me. I'll show you a car. It's a fucking Chevy Camaro.
Homophobic.
Convertible.
None of these, the word convertible is the first one you said in that sentence that made any sense to me. I don't know what that is.
A Camaro is like, I mean, it's not like the same thing as a Mustang, but they're pretty equivalent.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a sports car.
Ooh, so you're taking a sporty little jaunt through the snow.
That's real weird, rear wheel drive.
That's not great.
No. So I'm driving from Massachusetts to Pittsburgh. It's about 10 hours. And then halfway through Pennsylvania, it starts to snow.
Oh.
And so my trip gets over 2 hours longer because I'm going half the speed limit on the highway.
Yeah.
And I'm in this fucking car that's not meant for snow at all, white knuckling it, crying, stressed out of my mind. Just like the fucking worst experience driving back. It was so horrible. I drove back. I got back too late to return the rental car. So I had to wake up the next morning, drive to the airport, return the rental car, fucking take a $50 Uber to work. And then I went to work and I had a bad day and I hate my job, but I can't quit because it's not actually a job. So that was long and boring. I probably won't keep any of that in.
Well, you're not editing this episode, so it's ultimately not up to
fucking
you.
Fucking hell.
No. So I'm actually going to make it longer and more boring. I'm going to kind of insert.
Let me hear your impression of my voice.
No, that's never, such a dangerous game to play. You can't do an earnest impression of someone while they're in the room.
I love
because
how, I love
someone will get upset.
How you leaned into the mic and you open your mouth and then you were like, no.
Yeah, I thought better of it because, I don't know, I do a pretty mean impression.
As in
it's... Not that it's good, as in it's like genuinely mean. Like when people hear my impressions, they burst into tears. Because I berate them while doing the impressions.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. Anyway.
I used to have a bitchin' Emma Watson as Hermione Granger. But then some magical changes started taking place in my nether regions and I could no longer hit those notes.
What were those magical changes?
My testicles descended.
Is that a thing?
One
that...
after the other, listen. Like Cinderella at the ball. But it was at the balls.
I don't want to be ignorant on Maine, but is that a thing that like really happens?
Your balls drop?
Yeah. Or is that
Have
just like a
seen
way?
This there's no way to say this without sounding like we're both perverts, but have you not seen like prepubescent genitals for testicles?
I mean, like, I've changed diapers if that's what you mean.
Yeah, the balls are tiny.
Yeah, but I just assume they just
stay
like
stay that tiny until.
Wait, are you serious?
Look, yes. I'm going based off of really old memories that I don't want to think about because it feels weird to recall them.
Okay, well, you don't have to. Sorry, I just
from situations when I was that age. Yeah,
that's just not the experience that I've had. Like, actually, my balls have gotten smaller as time has gone on.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
Yeah.
No, but all of a sudden they just get larger. They drop like it's New Year's Eve and the party rages on. No, but that's why like middle school is such an uncomfortable time for kids because half of them are like, why am I so much bigger than everyone else? And the other half are like, I can't see my own testicles without a microscope. Anyway, that part probably will get cut because I think it's entertaining, but I don't know how to make it so we don't sound like freaks.
Released on the Patreon.
Released on the Patreon. Aaron and Jesse talk pubescence.
We should do a... oh my god, that would actually be a really fun bonus content thing, is like, you and I teach a sex ed course.
Oh god. I do need it, but... No, I got a couple ideas for bonus apps, but more important than anything you've said so far, I have one thing that I've done since we last recorded, and then we should probably hop in. All but
right, what have you done?
I watched the pilot of How I Met Your Father, starring Hilary Duff and Francia Reza.
I haven't done it yet.
Honestly, I am begging anyone to put Francia in a good show.
Yeah.
She is so talented, and she keeps getting nothing to work with, yeah. And it makes me so sad. I haven't seen whatever Freeform show she was in.
Grown-ish is actually good.
Okay, good, because she was in, like, 3 episodes of Dear White People, and she was good in that. She was fantastic in How I Met Your Father. She has no material to work with.
I mean, she was, just think of, Bring It On.
Oh, I forgot she was in one of those.
But the one, she's in the one with Hayden Panettiere, or however you pronounce her last name.
I was a big Hayden Panettiere stan, because she voiced Kairi in Kingdom Hearts.
I was a big stan, because I was a lesbian.
Oh, well.
And I watched Ice Princess with Kim Cattrall all the fucking time.
Oh. Kim Cattrall in How I Met Your Father.
Right! Yes, I do know that.
Again, wasted.
I love how she's like, yeah, fuck Sex and the City. I'm not going back to that shit. But
How I Met Your Father, on the other hand.
Sign me up for that.
They're making her such a bigger part of it than Bob Saget was of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh.
Like, you actually see Kim Cattrall. She doesn't just narrate. All of a sudden, it cuts to her in a bathrobe drinking wine, and she's like, and this is what I wanted to get dick down, or something like that.
I need to watch it.
It's honestly...
Do they have a laugh track?
Of course they have a laugh track.
Fuck.
Are there any of the jokes funny enough to warrant one? No, that's why they need one.
Fuck.
I will say it falls victim to, like... I don't ever want to judge anyone else's craft, you know? Like, I know how hard it is to get a TV show and to get it made and stuff, but the writing falls flat frequently. And there's only, like, an episode or two out right now, but it just feels like they knew people were going to watch it, so they just kind of phoned it in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure there's, like, really talented people. I know there's really talented people working on it, probably, but...
Yeah.
It just feels like they knew there was a built-in audience, and they kind of cashed it in.
Yeah. Can I say something that people should watch really quickly that's actually good, and there's no irony at all?
Yeah, I think we should do this more, because I feel bad about all the negativity we put in the world.
I've been watching the docuseries Medellin on Peacock.
Oh.
I watched the first 3 episodes when I was in Boston with my siblings, and it's about the 2002 Winter Olympics. There was, like, a big pairs figure skating or ice dancing, whatever the fuck it's called.
Those are 2 different things.
Okay, well, fuck off, first of all. But they...
Okay. Maybe I will.
They... Not while we're recording, please. Do that.
How would you know?
Do that on your own time.
My camera's pointed square at my face. You have no idea what I'm doing down there.
So, it's about, anyway, this, like, ice skating scandal that happened at the Olympics. And it's really good. And I'm gonna say it. They're all really hot. And you can quote me on that.
That's a brave stance to take. I'm proud of you for speaking your truth.
But, like, you know the ones that aren't. But the ones that are, you're like, ooh. And they're right in my ideal age bracket.
Ooh.
AKA probably too old to be appropriate for me. And they're real people who are ice skating people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That sounds fun. I love ice skating.
It's super good. It's really well made. So let's get into the episode. Welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
And today we're going to be covering season 3, episode 17, entitled Guess Who's Not Coming to Dinner?
What the actual fuck was that about? Right? Like, we're going to reference the classic film Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which is about, like, race relations, first of all.
Yeah, I watched that like, movie in high school, I think.
Made with, like, a 1960s understanding of race. It's not great.
Yeah.
It was also remade with Ashton Kutcher.
Was it really?
And Bernie Mac as Guess Who. But this time it was a white guy getting brought home to a black woman's family.
Oh.
And Bernie Mac does not like Ashton Kutcher. I think Gabrielle Union the love interest? Or the leading lady?
I mean, honestly, maybe
Gabrielle Union can do no wrong.
Maybe an unpopular opinion. If someone brought Ashton Kutcher to my house for dinner too, I would be like,
I'd be like, hey, wash your kids first.
I'd also be like, hey, I don't really like you that much. So can you leave my house? Thanks. Go fucking invest your money in acorns or whatever and hate poor people some more. And yeah, wash your fucking kids. Put them in the fucking bathtub.
Oh, it's Zoe Saldana, not Gabrielle Union. I knew it was someone that wow. I had a straight crush on.
So anyway, there is an episode of Will and Grace, I think in the second season, called Guess Who's Not Coming to Dinner. I've never seen an episode of Will and Grace, but when I looked up Guess Who's Not Coming to Dinner on Google, that was the first thing that popped up.
Who wasn't coming to dinner? Was it Will or Grace?
I don't fucking know. So, okay, anyway, this episode, let me pull up my stats. This episode was directed by someone, I mean, I don't really recognize the name. His name is Gail Brady, or her name is Gail Brady. Wow, interesting that I assumed the director was a man.
Yeah, real, like, I can't operate on this patient, it's my son energy.
Ever
think that maybe the doctors are gay? Maybe that's the reason? It's not because it's...
It was written by Brenda Hampton, and it aired on April 11th, 2011.
Oh my gosh. That's like the day before my brother's birthday.
Oh.
Sweet. Yeah, see, you were angry and then it got sweet.
Yeah. And to 2.29 million viewers.
It still pisses me off that they got more viewers than we have listeners.
What are you talking about? We have 5 million listeners per week.
Well, yeah, but, like, half of them are like, I never watched the show. So, like, obviously we should have several million more.
Gotcha, yeah. I feel like people who watched Secret Life, unironically, have, like, huge horse girl energy.
People who watch Secret Life, unironically, that don't listen to the podcast now, I do think there were some that listened to the first episode and got really angry.
Yeah, probably.
Because we have a lot of listens on our pilot. Way more than anything else.
Yeah, that's fine. You don't have to like us.
You do have to publicly like us. Like, if you're going to make any comments or anything like that, you do have to be positive and like us and say that we're really good and hot.
Right, obviously.
Please leave a review saying the hosts are very hot.
So, let's try to rein it in.
Let's try to speed run this shit.
Yeah. So, do you have biblical context or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. I have two. One is huge news for dads everywhere. Mm. It's from the golf section of the New York Times, and it says Masters rating slip. Charles Schwartzel's stunning victory in the Masters generated a 10.4 preliminary overnight Nielsen rating Sunday on CBS.
Wow.
My dad loves to watch golf.
My dad loves to watch Happy Gilmore.
Mm. Then my real one, it's not actually really relevant to today, so it really kind of like puts us into the 2011 space and time, you know, like if you can kind of think back to 2011. Again, it's not relevant to now at all. It's from the education part of the New York Times. And it says, burden of college loans on graduates grow. Student loan debt will likely top $1 trillion this year as more people go to college and borrow money to do so. So I think that's like really interesting just to kind of think about because, you know, college is really affordable and like, yeah. no one has loans, and it's not, like, a crisis yeah. or anything. So it's,
bunch
like,
of people crying wolf, frankly.
Right. So it's, like, very interesting to kind of, you know, just, like, this was 11 years ago, right? Yeah. And, like, we don't hear anything about that now. So I just thought yeah. it was important to kind of include
Well, the thing
that.
Is, it wasn't even real then. It's just a lot of people that were stupid.
Right. It's just, like, if... Like, don't borrow the money if you can't pay it back, you know?
Well, that's the thing. And, like, smart people aren't poor. So, like...
Right. Yeah.
You know? If you're stupid, you shouldn't be going to college anyway.
Right. Fern. Hello.
Stupid people belong in the halls of Congress, not in the halls of our campuses.
Yeah. It's true. No.
Okay, I have a more relevant story, though.
Okay, great.
This is from Gizmodo. And the headline is, Walking Table Moves Like a Spider for Easier Movement Between Rooms.
I hate that visual so much.
Yeah? Do you want me to send you a video of the table walking?
Absolutely not. Please do not.
Okay, I'm going to send it.
No, please.
I'm going to send you the article, though.
Okay.
Because I think you should see the table.
Fern is being so loud right now.
It's not, like, disturbing. Well, it's a little disturbing.
Yeah, it sounds disturbing.
But it's actually, like, genius design. Oh, the table is available to buy in a limited edition quantity of 8 pieces. The video attached is just a guy walking it through a grassy field in front of a cloudy sky.
Did you send the thing?
I thought you didn't want to see it.
I thought you were going to send it anyway. Okay.
I respect your boundaries.
Thank you, I appreciate it. What were you saying about the sky?
Well, just like the video attached showed a guy just walking it through a grassy field in front of a cloudy sky for like an uncomfortable amount of time. And there were still 2 minutes left, so I can't imagine where he goes next.
All right, let me look at this. This video is so long, it's 5 minutes.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be.
Right, it's literally, why the fuck is he? Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Wow, it's an all-terrain table.
Hot.
That's so weird. Interesting. Okay. Well, I hate it, but not as much as I thought I was going to hate it.
Yeah, it's not, like, super disturbing, but it's, like, not fun to look at.
No. Okay. Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do this.
This episode...
Nothing happens, but everything happens.
Yeah.
So... I was like, oh... It got to a certain point, I'm like, this is going to be Aaron's favorite episode of all time. And then 5 seconds later, I was like, oh, Aaron's going to want to kill himself.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it went. That is kind of how it went.
The whiplash between the best news you could have received and the worst was so rough.
Yeah, just... Absolutely horrible. So
I will say, on our little Instagram live, I did promise to jump out my window if something that happens in this episode ever happened. So I will be doing that live on the pod. So stay tuned for that to hear my demise.
Oh my god. Who's gonna do the Jerry Seinfeld voice at your for your eulogy?
Jerry!
Sorry, I think he's dating a 16-year-old. I was
just going to say, I'll tell him I was a 16-year-old girl and it was my final wish, and he'll probably show up.
To meet all of your 16-year-old friends. Okay, yeah. So we start in Ricky's apartment. Ricky and Nora are talking. He's kicking Nora out to go live, like, she's going to live with Margaret and Shaker. And we find out Nora has no contact with Bob. And also, good. She's like, this is so sweet of you to make me live with forced supervision, but I'm just going to find my own apartment. And he's like, with what money? You don't have any money. Like, you don't have money for an apartment. You don't have money for a car. You don't have money for insurance. And she's like, oh, you need insurance to drive a car? And he's like, yeah, you also need a license. Do you have a license? Find out she doesn't have a license.
Yeah, Ricky's like, you drove my car without a license? And she was like, I was going to jail anyway.
Yeah. So,
that was fun.
Let's talk about how getting out of prison doesn't prepare you. Like, they don't prepare you when you get out of prison for, like, anything. And that just, like, feeds the complex more.
Well, it's crazy. It's a cycle. When you think of, like, every good program that prisons ever were introduced have been phased out.
Right.
So entirely. Like, you used to be able to get an education in, like, prison.
Yeah. You could get, like, a...
Like, you could get a college degree.
Yeah, you could get...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've been shutting them down and down more and more because, again, rehabilitation is not the point. The punishment's the point.
Right. And, well, the profit's the point.
Don't you ever contradict me again.
So, Ricky does set a good boundary that she can't drive his car until she has a license, which I think is fair. Also, I do have to say this whole thing where he's like, you don't have money for an apartment, blah, blah, blah. Do we not remember that Ricky literally doesn't pay rent for his apartment?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, Ricky lives free.
Yeah, he lives in a free
apartment. And he doesn't ever mention that. He's kind of bootstrapping her despite benefiting from other people's generosity.
Which I guess, like, she, by, like, her going to live with Margaret and Shaker, like, she's going to benefit from that, too. Which is just, like, wild because this is not really how the world works. But
also, when did Margaret and Shaker stop taking in foster kids?
Well, we learn about that in a little bit.
I know, but, like, that was never talked about.
No, it wasn't. Of course not. So, Nora is kind of being a little bit of a baby about leaving. There's a knock on the door. Margaret is there. She says, hi, sweetheart, to Ricky. And Nora goes, hi, sweetheart. Which is...
This dynamic is already so toxic. Yeah. I don't think they should be... Something bad's gonna happen. Yeah. And something bad does happen. Yeah. But...
Ricky kind of treats Nora a little bit like a baby because he's like, this is what time she woke up, she's fed, she just needs to get dressed, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's how you talk about a baby when a babysitter comes. We find out Margaret and Shaker stopped taking in foster children. And so Margaret's like, so it's been quiet and peaceful and I want it to stay that way when you move in. So Nora's mean, whatever. And then she's like, do you want me to go to church before we go to your house and, like, pray my sins off? And Margaret's like, actually, it might surprise you, but I don't go to church.
I'm a Buddhist.
And she goes,
oh. And Nora's like, oh, I don't know if I can live with a nudist.
Yeah, she says, oh, good Lord, my son was living with nudists. And then there's conflict between Margaret and Nora that's very uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable to watch. Like, it was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, it was so hard to watch. And then...
This was, like, cringe comedy, but there was no comedy.
Right. And Margaret is like, just so you know, like, when you live with me, you have to abide by, like, rules. And so Ricky explains what those rules are, which is like... Oh, wait, no. Before he explains what the rules are, Nora's like, oh, I guess that means no boys in my room. And Margaret goes, or girls either. And Ricky goes, what does that mean? And Margaret's like, oh, nothing. Just no, whatever. Margaret fully just doubted Nora.
Yeah. And at this point, I was like, Erin's having palpitations right now. I know.
Right. Because you know what? Bad representation is better than no representation.
That's so true. I say that all the time while I look up at my Kurt and Blaine poster.
So,
I think this is good representation.
Ricky explains the rules about living in Margaret's house where he's like, there's no drinking, there's no drugs, you have to do chores. And Ricky says that maybe him and Amy might drop by with John later tonight. Nora is still in shock about being literally outed. And Ricky's like, oh, I thought you'd be more excited. He leaves. And then Nora goes, how did you know about the girlfriend? And Margaret goes, I hear things.
Gay!
So, theme.
Yeah, what's your alternate theme?
I picked Girls Like Girls by Hayley Kiyoko.
You would?
Yeah.
I picked, since you focused on the positive, I picked a little song, a classic by Tim McGraw, off of his album... I don't remember which album, but it's a little ditty I like to call Kill Myself.
That's not an actual song. Is it really?
I thought you would say that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that was a song that exists.
What? The actual fuck?
I have no idea.
Oh my god. That is so wild.
Right? Like, it doesn't... It's on the album Live Like You Were Dying by Tim McGraw.
I cannot...
We had that CD when I was a child.
Oh my god.
Yeah, just sit with that for a second, you know?
Yeah.
I truly can't believe that song exists, and I forgot about it until today.
Oh my god. Okay, so... I don't even know how to move on from there.
Yeah, I think we gotta end the pod right there, actually.
I think that's appropriate. Also, I really want to put my hair up, but I can't find a hair tie. And it's your fault. Okay. We go to Ashley and Amy. We're in Amy's bedroom. And oh, Ashley is upset because they're not gonna go see their mom this weekend. And Amy is like, well, like, I'm gonna go take John to meet Nora. So, like...
John confirmed 18 months.
Oh, did they say that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, clearly I wasn't paying as good of attention as I should. So, Ashley doesn't want to talk. She's like, I don't want to talk about Ricky's two moms. There was, like, a lot of two moms references this episode.
Yeah.
Which is, like...
And none of them knew that maybe someday it would be three. Think of that menage.
A trois. Amy, she wants to go visit Anne because she needs help with her biology project. And Amy's like, fine, I'll help you because I can't take you. But remember, I'm not exactly a biologist. And Ashley goes, yeah, you're not exactly a sister either.
What the fuck? Ashley, you've got to stop pulling this shit.
Yeah.
I can see why no one likes her and she has to homeschool.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, so, she already, like, I'm realizing she kind of had the social skills of a homeschooler even when she was in public school, so.
Remember that? Didn't she make friends with that kid who was a homeschooler? Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, that kid that was like, I'm 27, and she's like, cool, fuck me, and then he was like, oh, I'm actually 15, and she was like, oh, get out of my life.
Yeah, that kid.
That kid, yeah, for
that
sure.
That Jesse McCartney looking ass.
I almost started singing Airplanes by B.O.B. featuring... That's not a Jesse McCartney song.
Not even close. So, Ashley leaves, George comes in, and George is like, don't help her with her homework, we want her to go back to school. And he's like, well, actually, like, the research I did shows that, like, some kids do better with homeschooling, especially, like, if it's students who are less social.
The research that Anne did.
Oh.
Put some respect on Molly Ringwald's phone-holding name.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to hold a phone. So, and George is like, listen, I want Ashley to be more social, but not as social as you, which is a teen pregnancy joke.
Oh, yeah.
And well, he's like, well, it's not a teen pregnancy joke. It's a teen wanting to have sex after having a baby joke. And then they argue about Amy having sex with Ricky. Amy is very mature. I love Amy. She has...
Honestly, Amy is one of, like, five teens that I'm like, yeah, you could have sex, and I don't think it's gonna really... On this show, I don't think it's gonna mess with anything you got going on.
I think Shailene is doing a great job. She's really... She makes the show bearable to me now. And also, I just want to say, all of these fucking headlines... We're going back to our Shailene and Aaron Rodgers corner... I've been seeing all these things about how, like, Shailene has been quote-unquote weirdly quiet since the Packers lose, or, like, lost or whatever.
She had gotta be, because there's a long history in Wisconsin of blaming Packers losses on whoever Aaron Rodgers is boinking at the time.
Right, and I'm just like, shut the fuck up. I hate
them. Who's asking Shailene about football?
Do you think she's ever seen
someone toss the pigskin?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Do you think she's ever gone to a single football game?
The closest she's been to football is when she was playing a marching band kid in The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Listen, I'm with you. So
Shailene didn't know who Aaron Rodgers was before he started dating her with his hairy hands and giant cock.
In his nice as shit car. So Amy says something about how she's gonna take John to meet Nora tonight, and like if it gets to be too late, like she'll put John to bed at Ricky's house or whatever. And George says some line where he's like, midnight, John's bedtime is midnight now? And I'm like,
oh, now you care about your grandson's sleep schedule?
I never want to be on the same side as George ever.
I'd like George on one side of me.
So,
the backside.
I was hoping to avoid
slowly
that.
Preparing me. And perhaps giving me a little spank.
Oh my god. So, Amy says, I found some parts of the script, which is really great, but it wasn't from transcripts.foreverdreaming.org. It's from something else. But Amy goes, what happened to that stupid book that gave you tips on how to talk to your teenage daughter about sex? And George says, I threw it out. I'm going to write my own book. And she says, you see, Dad, the thing about writing your own book is that you have to be successful at the thing you're writing about in order for it to sell.
Got his ass.
And she says, I don't think you're successful at parenting. Just look at me. Or no, look at Ashley.
Got her ass.
It's so good.
The nice thing is, like, with Ashley, she's not even catching strays. She just deserves to be
absolutely
hit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's not a stray. She was
headshot.
She earned it, too. She just happened to be standing directly behind George.
Yeah. So Ashley and Anne are then, like, having a phone call. Ashley, like, is talking about how much she fucking hates babies. And Anne is like, listen, valid. But I love Robbie.
Holy shit, Robbie's still here.
Yeah, he hasn't died yet.
Brenda was like, oh, we haven't talked about Robbie in 3.5 years. Maybe we should point out that he does still live, even if we're never going to show him again.
Yeah. And so then Ashley cons her mom into helping her with this biology project, and Anne loves her honesty, that was like her whole point.
Oh, and she's like, I love when you're honest with me, even when it really hurts what you say, because she's like, oh, so the only reason you wanted to come up was so I could do your project for you. And Ashley's like, yeah. You think I wanted to spend time with you? You think I miss you, you dumb bitch?
Where the fuck is Anne even staying? That's the thing. Okay, like, I have that as a note later, but the project is ecosystems, and Anne thinks it's interesting. Ashley does not. And then fucking Anne just whips out, this is a quote from the show, well, let's think about it, about ecosystems. An ecosystem is all the organisms living in a particular area, including all the non-living things that they interact with, like air, water, soil, sunlight. What does that mean to you? Anne, where the fuck did that come from?
Women's studies. Anne does green research for people. She's basically a biologist. She knows how to recycle.
That's true.
She was an architectural consultant despite having no education or qualifications for it, but luckily the boss wanted to boink.
Yeah, that's true. So, okay. Also, does Anne hate her kids?
Yeah.
Because she moved far away from them. Like, George, at least, like, George bought the
George
house
moved
next
in
door.
Next door.
And Anne was like, peace out.
Anne said, I had to live with these fuckers last time. I'm not doing that again.
Well, and she didn't even
stay
live with
home.
Ashley.
That's so true. Yeah, and isn't she running the furniture store? So she moved out of town.
Yeah, who knows?
To run a store in town.
David really is just gonna jump out at us one of these times.
And I will not be prepared.
No. So, we go to the butcher shop. Nora is leaving with Margaret, and she says goodbye to Ben and Ricky. Ben is super awkward about Ricky having two moms. And then Ricky brings up that Margaret convinced Adrian to keep the baby, which isn't exactly what happened, but
yeah,
he's mad. So, Margaret's like, I don't really think this is an appropriate place to talk about this. Let's talk about it later. Also, it's probably not appropriate for Margaret to talk about it at all because, like, she works at that clinic.
Yeah. I almost said parent-teacher confidentiality, and then I realized I was mixing up two terms.
Parent-teacher confidentiality.
Yeah, they can't tell me what my mother discussed in their meeting.
Parent-teacher confidentiality is when, you go in for a conference and you end up fucking, and then it's kind of like a secret that you have to keep from everyone.
Oh, so you're just talking about The New Adventures of Old Christine, season 2. Starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I forgot that show existed.
I've been watching it on HBO Max. I only use HBO Max for sitcoms from the mid-2000s.
So Ben tells them, he's like, oh, I have some good news. I'm thinking about getting married. And Ricky's like, yeah, I keep thinking about that. And Nora says, good for you. And then she's like, I might be getting married one day too. ... If she says yes. And then everyone is shocked. They leave. Ricky's confused. Ben says, your mother's a lesbian?
And Ricky says, shut up, your mom's a lesbian.
Your dead mom.
Your mom died because she was a lesbian.
Oh my god. So then we go to the guest house.
Do we think Ricky's homophobic? Let's discuss.
Do we think... No. Here's the thing. Ricky, homophobic? Yes.
I think he is, but only towards gay men.
That was exactly what I was about to say.
I think he has no issue with lesbians.
Yeah, I don't think... I think he... I mean, does he fetishize them? Yeah. But...
But like in a cool, supportive way.
Sure.
He fetishizes them in a way that gets them jobs. And positions of power.
Right. Oh my god, let me get comfortable, except it looks like I'm having a baby right now.
Yeah, would you... Well, that's the thing, I don't know why you have stirrups.
Okay, so... We go to the guest house, and Jack and Tom have this little conversation that I think we should do. Do you want to be Jack, or do you want to be Tom?
I'll be Jack, because he's so stupid, and I love it.
Okay, you're gonna have to kind of, like...
Yeah. You know, I just don't get it. Grace and that Grant guy. Be honest with me, Tom. Between me and Grant, who do you think...
Grant.
You didn't let me finish.
Okay, finish.
What I was going to say is, between me and Grant, who do you think is better for your sister's future?
Grant.
Her future, Tom. Your sister's entire future. Think about it. Her entire future.
Grant.
I don't believe this. How can you say that?
Funny.
Who do you think dicks her down better?
In character. Her dad died a terrible death because she had incredible sex. That's all I'm going to say.
You can't break scene in improv like that.
Oh, I thought we were going to the discussion portion.
Sometimes discussion is improv.
I would say almost every discussion is improv.
I actually script all of mine out.
Oh.
So, you know, good. I guess that's just where we kind of fundamentally differ.
Yeah. Jack is like, did you forget that I moved in here for you? Insinuating that he, like, made this big sacrifice to live with Tom in the guest house. And Tom's like... Yeah,
and Tom's like, bitch, I did you a favor. You were gonna be homeless.
Yeah.
Because your girlfriend at the time was so jealous of her best friend, she wouldn't let you live in a house.
That's true. And he's like, I moved on from Grace to Madison. And Tom is like, well, she dumped you. And Jack's like, you're really not helping my self-esteem. We go to Grace and Adrian having girl talk in Adrian's bedroom. Grace is talking about how Grant loves her and, like, can she really trust him? But she really thinks he loves her and she loves him. But now she's confused if she wants to have sex. And then Adrian jumps in with the might be in love with Ben. She loves him, but she isn't sure if she's in love with him. And it's a mature kind of love, not like Ricky. And Grace is like,
sure.
Yeah, but is being there enough? And Adrian goes, being there is everything. And then Grace, like, hates the idea of Adrian getting married because she isn't physically attracted to Ben, because being there isn't enough. And Grace is like, you're not going to have sex with Ben, though, right? And Adrian's like,
I might.
Like, literally, what's the worst that could happen? And then
Adrian... get double pregnant?
Yeah. And she's like, are you going to have sex with Grant? And Grace is unsure. And Adrian says, if she's having any doubts, don't do it. Good for her.
Yeah.
It's so funny because Adrian is really, like, the voice of reason when it comes to...
sex.
Grace having sex, yeah. So...
Except for when she does the weird thing where she, like, becomes Brenda Hampton briefly and is like, don't have sex, you'll get pregnant and die.
Right, yeah.
But when she's, like, actually doing, like, Grace-focused care.
Yeah. I think Brenda really wants Grace to get dick down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna start crying.
Why?
I had my hand behind me just kind of sticking out. Midas just put his little paw in it.
Oh, that's so cute.
Like, he's holding my hand. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm crying.
That's so cute. So, we go to Leo and Ruben.
Oh, wait. I did want to say, Grace and what's-her-name, Adrian's conversation felt like thinly veiled homophobia somehow. Because they started talking about how, like, who you're attracted to is a choice and something that you actively do.
Yes.
I'm like, this, like, if they weren't talking about what they're talking about, this feels like Christian talking points regarding sexuality. Because they're like, me and Ben are attracted to each other. We just don't act on it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, so you can choose who you're attracted to?
It just got so close into the territory where I'm like, my fight or flight is active right now, even though it's not.
Yeah. So we go to Leo and Ruben at Leo's house. They just finished playing golf or fucking or whatever the
golf
fuck.
Or fucking on the golf course right on top of Marshall's ashes.
Threesome in a way.
Yeah. That's what we call the devil's threesome, because one has to commune from hell.
So Leo says something about golf that's confusing, whatever. Hee hee, funny joke about big news, like, whatever. Ruben's like, every time I come over here, I think you're going to have big news for me. And Leo's like, that Ben's going to propose to Adrian? And Ruben's like, yeah, exactly like that. Wait, Ben's going to propose to Adrian? Oh my god, this show needs a laugh track.
Yes, actually. This actually, I think, would be an amazing show with a laugh track.
Right.
So, and if it was, again, 22 minutes instead of 44, because half of this shit doesn't matter.
Exactly. It's the best news Ruben has heard all week. Leo doesn't think Ben needs to rush to get married because he's... And then Ruben's like, that's because you're the father of the father, not the father of the mother. And then Leo doesn't want Ben to ask Adrian if she might say no because his ego might be crushed. Oh, and so he has, like, all these stipulations.
The worst thing that can possibly happen to a teenage white Italian man is getting the word no said to them.
Exactly. So Leo has all these stipulations about, like, if they get engaged, like, they get to pick the time of the wedding, like, not the parents, and blah, 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 whatever.
It's like, no shit. Isn't that kind of how that stuff goes? Yeah. Whatever. So, it all feels really gross whenever Leo and Ruben have these backroom deals discussing, like, Adrian's dowry, basically. Yeah,
I have that written later. Because Cindy is not included in this at all.
No, and she's basically told, like, get on board or get out.
Yeah. So Margaret and Ricky talk on the phone. He calls Nora his mother. And then he's like, sorry, Nora. And she's like, you can call her mom. You can call her your mother. Why are you rubbing your neck with a lighter?
I'm scratching my back.
That's like, I can't even. Okay, so Margaret is like, I know how you feel about me regardless of what you call me. And like, regardless of what you call her. And then Ricky's like, I don't want to bring John over. It's a bad idea. He's homophobic.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I do get it, because you don't really want that gay influence around your son.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
Like, I personally, well, I've quarantined from my nephew for the past 5 months, because, you know, if they get exposed before year one, there's a chance that they could turn out a little fruity.
So Margaret makes him keep his promise because she's like, Nora is like the daughter of an alcoholic. People have disappointed her whole life. You can't be one of those people, which is a lot of pressure to put on her son. Anyway.
It is.
Then Ricky's like, well, Amy can bring John by if she wants. And Margaret is like, stop being like this. Come on. So then Margaret lays down the law and she's like, you're coming over at 7, blah, blah, blah. Which, I guess Margaret also hates his sleep schedule for John, like...
Well, you forget, John's sleep schedule is, like, he goes to bed at midnight, but then he wakes up at, like, 1 a.m.
Right. To have
and a then he just kinda
cupcake
stays.
Party.
He's kind of a young Sheldon in the way that he doesn't need sleep because his mind is so advanced.
Right. So then we go to the Juergens' house. Amy's in the kitchen. She's talking to Ricky on the phone. He says he's not feeling well, and then he fakes the flu. Amy's worried. I do have to say, this is me with, like, fake COVID exposures all the time when I'm trying to get out of plans with people. I'm like, oh no, I was exposed to COVID, so... I wasn't exposed to COVID. I just want to stay at home.
I do that frequently. Like, once someone invited me to this concert in Ohio I really didn't want to go to, so I was like, I think my roommate might have COVID. Just kidding. You know, I'm still financially recovering from 2 weeks without pay.
Yeah, I'm financially recovering from like a year without pay right now.
Yeah. Well, okay, so some things aren't competitions, but
yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying I get it.
Yeah.
My savings account is just dwindling and dwindling.
No, I know. That was October was one of the worst financial months I've ever had.
So subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah, subscribe to the Patreon, because again, if you haven't heard about my October, I had COVID exposure that kept me home with no income for 2 weeks immediately after my car broke down in Ohio and I had to pay over $1,000 to get it fixed.
And I'm in grad school, and okay, I have to work.
No one cares about that.
I have to work a full-time job that I don't get paid for, which doesn't really leave me with a lot of time to, like...
Yeah, and if we get 10 more subscribers, we'll film a sex tape. We won't release it, but we'll have it.
Sure. Okay, I'm trying to get pregnant, so...
Yeah, and I'm trying to get fucked.
That's not how I would get pregnant, though.
We can make it that way.
I really need to explain to you how... sex works.
I mean, yeah.
So, Adrian and Ben have a phone call then. It's literally pointless dialogue about where they're going to dinner. She wants Poppy's Tacos, Ben.
Poppy's Tacos, like, we'll come back to at the end.
Right. And she's like, so anyway, so they decide they're going to go there. Ruben is like, OMG, Cindy, do you want to go out then? Do you want to go out to dinner too? And Cindy is like, you fucker, I'm literally cooking dinner right now. Like, you're watching me cook dinner.
Chopping vegetables. There's a giant-ass loaf of bread on the counter.
And Ruben is like, oh, well, if we're going to stay in and, like, watch a movie and have dinner, like, do you want to do that too, Adrian? And she's like, why are you being so fucking weird? I'm literally going out to dinner with Ben. And he's like, do you love Ben, Adrian? She's like, I think so. And then she says, like, promise me you won't push Ben into marrying me, because then I won't know, like, why he proposed. Then she leaves to go take a nap. And Cindy hits Ruben with a magazine. Appropriate response.
Yeah. Appropriate response, like, would be putting a magazine into her rifle and taking a shot.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, good, I know guns. Yeah, that's the thing. I need to get... This episode is sponsored by the NRA. Buy a gun and shoot it, bitch. The NRA.
Is that their slogan?
Yeah, they just rebranded this year.
I love it.
Yeah.
So.
I know you love the NRA. That's why I agreed for the sponsorship for both of us.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. So.
Yeah, I think it's important to lobby against progress.
Cindy and Ruben fight about Adrian getting married, blah, 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 talking about how the conversation, like, he had with Leo went. And then I said, why did these two men get together to fucking broker this deal, figure out her dowry?
Yeah.
And I was like, where was Cindy? I bet you she can actually play golf. Like, I bet you she has a better handicap than Leo and Ruben.
Oh, Cindy slays, and she wears a cute little tennis outfit.
Yeah.
But she's golfing. So it's actually a golf outfit.
Anyways.
One more comment about Cindy. She just wants to eat at home.
Yeah, she literally eats out, like, every single fucking night.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. She be eating out.
Did you get, like, more horny? Are you, like, taking an oath of celibacy right now?
I believe in abstinence till marriage.
Right, yeah.
Which means... I also believe in dry January, which I'm pretty sure means that my semen can't touch the ground.
I hate you so much. So...
I'm sorry.
Adrian and Ricky have a phone call. She just called to see how he is. He's, like, about to flip his fucking lid.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you angry or something?
Yeah, I'm angry. My mom's a lesbian.
Well, he's like... Marriage, the wrong person could ruin your whole fucking life.
And sometimes the wrong person is a man.
Yeah, true. A lot of times.
Well, not for me, though.
I mean, if it's the wrong man.
I don't think it will be.
So, then we go to the Juergens' house. John is playing. He's a cutie. Nora calls Amy. Nora's being funny. Hee hee, funny Nora. Amy is like, Ricky is sick. He wants you to meet John. And Nora says,
sicky
no.
Sicky Ricky.
He doesn't want me to meet John. Margaret walks in. Then Nora and Margaret have a convo, because Nora's like, the warden's here, I gotta go. So, yeah.
And Margaret, to her defense for viciously outing Nora, says she thought that Ricky knew, and she feels very bad.
Yes. And Nora says, now he does and he hates me. The phone rings. Margaret picks it up. It's Amy. Amy, oh my god, my stomach just made a huge noise. If you hear that on...
I did hear it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I'll be amplifying it to make sure everyone else hears it too. I'm going to put it in right here. Some sick reverb.
Amy wants the hot goss. She feels bad about not bringing John over. And Margaret is like, well, Nora and Ricky are in the process of getting to know each other. Which makes it sound like they're, like, fucking a little bit.
I think off screen they are. Not the characters, but the actors. I think I read that somewhere.
Good for Darren.
Whenever you say Darren, I think of either Darren Criss or Darren Aronofsky. Neither of which are pleasant to think about.
I think only of Darren Kagasoff, let me tell you.
Mm.
He can cag this off.
See, stop. We can't both be doing this.
So, that was just a joke. I don't want him to touch me ever because I feel like he has, like, so much frat boy energy.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like him to split me like a log, but that's neither here nor there.
So, Margaret wants Ricky to be there when Nora meets John. So she's like, don't bring him up over by yourself.
Yeah, so because Amy's like, well, I feel bad. Should we still bring John? And she's like, Amy, that's very sweet, but I think Ricky needs to be there when Nora meets John.
Yeah.
Which is, I agree.
So then, oh shoot, not yawn. Okay. I hate listening to podcasts where people yawn because then you yawn. You know what I'm saying?
I lack empathy.
Yeah, I knew that. So we go to Ben's bedroom. Betty, Leo, and Ben are all like talking. And Ben says, Ruben could say no. And Leo's like, that's not going to happen. And then he says, Cindy could say no.
And Betty's and Betty like, that could happen.
That could happen. And Betty
their
says,
pillow talk has revealed Cindy's ideas about marriage.
Yeah. And then Betty says that she hopes in a year they get married in their home with only family around. And Ben goes, did he tell you to say that? And she goes, who? And he goes, big guy, Sausage King. She goes, no, that's what I think.
She says, how did you know I call him big guy?
I fucking hate you so much.
Do you have a glass to the wall of our bedroom?
So she says that when people really love each other, they lie for each other and that it's fun.
That's so true. I love lying for others.
Right. But then Ben says that he doesn't want to wait. He wants to get married as soon as possible. Ben leaves and Leo's like, he's really growing up too fast. I feel like a failure. And Betty goes, you're a really good father. And I was like, okay, I get the lying thing now.
Yeah, that is where you lie for your spouse.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you tell the truth there, you know, Leo's kind of devastated.
Right.
And he kind of takes his devastation out on himself instead
right.
of,
and then
you know,
Ben becomes an
physically
orphan.
Pleasuring. Oh.
Oh.
I meant he was going to start jacking it. And then Betty doesn't get what she needs. Which is a thick salami from the king. A hard salami, if you will.
Jesus fucking Christ. So we go to the butcher shop. It's nighttime. I can't do this with you. It's nighttime. Amy shows up with Sleepy John, and she tries to get Ricky to go with you to meet Nora. He's like, come up the back way. And she's like, no.
Yeah, I bet he would love if she came up the back way. I don't know what's wrong.
This will go down in history as our horniest episode.
And I hate that I have to do this.
No one is making you do this.
I don't know what's happening.
So, anyway, so John's being really cute. He's, like, hugging Amy. He's hugging Ricky. She, like... Oh, wait, no, no. Wait. This is where it gets fucking weird as hell. Are you good?
Yeah.
Did you just punch the wall?
Oh, there is a new hole in the drywall, if that's what you're asking, but, you know.
So... Ricky is like, I can't go with you because I have the flu. And so she leans in and, like, kisses and makes out with him. And she goes, want to have sex? And he goes, of course I want to have sex. Do you want to have sex? And she's like, no, I was just proving that you don't have the flu. But she is holding her son right now.
Yeah.
It just feels... I don't have kids, but it feels weird to me to be holding your son, who's, like, very sleepy, making out with your boyfriend and whispering, want to have sex.
Well, where do you think the first son came from, you know? How old do you think is... Like, at what age do you stop, you know, having relations while your kid's around?
Personally, for me,
you're birth. In a studio apartment, okay? You got the crib set up, but you want to have another child. When you doing that shit?
I get a hotel for the night?
Listen, oh, you're in a studio apartment and you can afford a hotel, too?
Listen, I'm not judging anyone. You got to do what you got to do. But I think for me personally, that feels a little bit weird.
What if you're in like a cheaper by the dozen house and there's 11 kids? How you get
my answer isn't going to change. I'm not going to have sex in front of my children.
Well, not in front. You can turn them around. You can put them in a crib. If they can't stand, how are they going to know? I move in silence. And people move in silence in me. So Aaron left the call. I'm officially the host of this shit, and we're gonna pilot it into the ground.
Sorry, I needed to just do something to stop that from happening.
To stop what?
Whatever.
I'm in a flow state right now, okay? I'm just saying shit. I don't know what's happening.
So, okay. I do have to say, when she... I'm going to reclaim host from you, to be honest. Okay.
I don't even know what I do as host.
So, this little part where she's like, want to have sex? And he goes, of course I want to have sex. Do you want to have sex? And she goes, no, I was just proving you have the flu. Checkmate, liberal. I fucking hate you so much. Jesse just put the wow react up on his suit. So... Then Amy wants to go. She talked to his moms, and he goes, did they tell you that Nora's gay? And then he's upset that she didn't tell him herself. Wow. Maybe turn that look inward, right?
Yeah. Why do you think she didn't feel comfortable telling you?
And Amy says that, and she goes, and why do you think that is? So then we go to Adrian's room. She's picking out clothes. The phone's ringing. It's Ben calling. He's saying he's going to be late. And she's like, that's fine. He's like, my driver's there to pick you up. And it is, I do have to say, it is kind of cute because clearly he like orchestrated a whole thing to propose. When people put like work into things and like effort, that's cute to me.
Yeah, I used to propose to my friend in the student union of our college like 3 to 4 times a week. She hated that bit.
So then...
Oh, that was so much fun. I'd get down on one knee and she'd just start walking away. Like, no, no, no.
That's so funny. Can we go get engaged, fake engaged somewhere so we can get like free dessert or something?
I have too much anxiety to do that, but yes.
Okay. So then... Ben calls... Okay, so Ben... Ruben and Cindy are there. They, like... Ben just asked them, whatever. He calls Cindy mom. He calls Ruben dad. And Ben is, like, clearly hopeful about the future.
Whatever. And here's where I have a bone to pick. Poppy's Tacos. Spelled P-O-P-P-I-E-S.
Yes.
What the fuck is that about?
I knew that early on in the episode because I use subtitles.
Okay, I hear Poppy's Tacos, and I'm assuming P-A-P-I apostrophe S.
Yeah.
Because that makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
Who's Poppy?
That's a great question.
I'm livid. That was egregious. It felt offensive to me.
You know what felt offensive to me? We go to Ashley's room. George comes in. To Ashley working on her biology project. Ashley is like, he's like, why are you working on this on a Saturday night? Let's go get pizza. And she's like, no, I'm super interested in this, so I'm doing it now. And she's decided that she likes homeschooling. She doesn't think she'll miss school. Okay. So then she, like, shows George her fucking project and how it's on ecosystems, which is not what ecosystems are
literally, at all. Literally, Ashley did not understand the assignment.
No, she really did not. Because she
turns over her ecosystems assignment. It's just pictures of her family.
It is literally the timeline of their demise and how the birth of Robbie broke their family apart.
Yeah. If I'm Robbie and I come across this in the cupboard, like, 7 years down the line, I'm pissed. I'm punching a hole in the wall. Like, I'm learning more negative coping strategies.
Right. So, she's choosing to adapt and survive. She needs therapy. And then...
so much therapy.
They fight, I guess. I don't really care.
I don't remember there being a fight, but I also don't remember the scene at all because I kind of blocked it.
Yeah. Also, I think it's funny because she's, like, using shots. Like, she's, like, using pictures of her family for this fucking project. They're clearly just stills from the show.
Oh, yeah. It's the actor's
It's, like, shots. Ricky... like, Ricky's... he's in his fucking, like, butcher apron. So... Ashley's into her project, whatever. So then we go to Nora, John, and Amy. John is very cute. Amy says Ricky still loves Nora. And Nora's like, yeah, I guess that's, like, kind of a punishment because the abused kid loving the parents, like, is a punishment. How much
Because you don't feel like you deserve it.
Yeah, and how much hurt can a person take? And then Ricky comes in and says, they're not victims anymore, so let's stop acting like them. Amy leaves. Then Ricky's holding John, and Nora says, it's a beautiful picture. Okay, I need a drink. And Ricky's like, that's not a funny joke. If anyone needs a drink, I do. She's like, do you drink? And he's like, no, I literally would never drink. Nora tells Ricky that she's gay. He's like, I wish you told me before you told other people. And then he says, are you sure you're gay? And she's like, And he's like, okay, you're gay, whatever. Who's the girlfriend? I want to meet the girlfriend. We find out the girlfriend is a public defender. Then Nora's like emo. Nora gets to hold John. John is thrashing in everyone's arms in this scene.
Yes. Here's my question about this scene that was specifically brought up. Do you think child actors ever get confused who their parents actually are?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think they might. You can't underestimate how stupid a baby is.
You can't be on set for that long, like, I'm assuming.
I don't think they had labor laws back in 2011.
But, so, John is thrashing in Nora's arms, and she goes, hey, little buddy, if anyone ever harms you, I'll kill them, and then my girlfriend will get me out of jail.
That's the energy I want from every lesbian couple.
Ricky is looking at her say this, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Can you imagine writing that line and then being like, this fuck is good. Yeah.
Yeah, this is art. I'm getting Emmy nominated.
Yeah. So,
I can finally move past the miserable failures of Fat Actress.
So, we go to Poppy's Tacos. Adrian shows up. She walks up to Ben and she's like, what are you up to? You're crazy. And he's like, you're crazy too, bitch. They be kiss. Ben be proposing. They say they love each other. She say yay. They be engaged. Gross. Fuck the
They
show.
Have not dated. They have not. No. They're barely friends.
But after they get engaged, the baby moves. It's very exciting.
Does the baby move or does little Ben move?
This has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers.
His dick got hard.
Oh my god.
I'm so sorry. I truly don't know why this is. I've been in such a weird, like, squirrely mood all day. It's and having fine. To deal it's with, like, the public. I haven't been able to be.
It's fine.
I haven't been able to ejaculate this energy, you know?
I got told I wasn't allowed to read books anymore at work today, so.
Oh, that's actually homophobia in practice.
Right? Anyway, for real though, I really can't conceptualize how far back this set the LGBTQ plus community.
I feel like it was one step forward for man, 17 steps backward for lesbians. It doesn't have to make sense.
I was going to say, oh, because famously the LGBTQ plus community is lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender people, queer people, and then the plus stands for men.
It stands for allies. The A in LGBTQIA plus is allies.
Right.
Funny. And I'm an ally. Okay, goodbye.
No, we have to do our sign off.
I don't think we do.
So, anyway, because I got told that I'm not allowed to read books at work anymore, even though I'm literally so fucking bored all the time, expect me to be more active on social media, which ultimately will be detrimental to my mental health, but will be entertaining for you. So, follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon at Your Two Gay Friends, and follow Jesse at GoJesse2K20 on Twitter, and follow me at No Money, No Prospects on Instagram. That's my bookstagram. And then you can send us an email at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can leave us an anchor voice message. You can leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Right?
Yeah, you can rate on Spotify now, too. So, like, do that. You can
rate us on Spotify?
I noticed we have, like, a couple 5 stars, which is nice.
Ha. Anyway, listen.
If you want us to talk about anything or do anything, tell us.
Yeah. follow our Instagram and our Twitter. I've been putting some stuff out. It's a good time.
If there's anything you want to see from us, like, Patreon wise that would, like, make you subscribe or make you happy you subscribed, let us know.
Or you should just subscribe because a lot of work goes into the show.
That's true too.
And when we finish the show, Jesse and I both will need inpatient, so it'll kind of, you know, offset the cost of that.
Yeah, I will say, hey, have a great day. Sorry, my audio must have cut out for a second there.
That's not what happened at all.
Okay, but you don't need to, like, tell them that. They have no idea.
You enjoyed listening to this. I hope you have a great day. I hope that you get a good night's rest. Put that phone away early, baby. Do and some journaling. Read a book.
I hope you provide a good night some rest with a K. So, like, I hope a knight in shining armor kind of shows up at your stoop and you can kind of board them for the night, but not in a way that violates the Constitution.
I was going to say, isn't that like the Fourth Amendment?
Hey, I hope you break that Fourth Amendment all over tonight. I hope Goodbye. You bust it wide open.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm so sorry, Mom. I know you've been listening. I just don't want you to be disappointed in me.